On Tuesday's episode of the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast, we hit day number 8 of the NHL postseason. Both Steele and I are back in the lab, baby, doing what we do best, and it is time to continue to stack this paper and build our bankroll. Join us on today's episode and tap into these picks. Let's go.
You're Locked On Fantasy Hockey, your daily podcast on fantasy hockey. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What is going on, people? Welcome back to your favorite and hottest hockey podcast. It is the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast with Steele Roden and Big Flip Livingstone. Thank you for making us your first listen every single day. And thank you for holding us down, everybody. Over the past week and a half, Steele and I have been bouncing all around North America. We've had technical difficulties. We've had a few illnesses. Vacation mode. We are back doing what we do. And you can find us Monday to Friday everywhere you find your favorite and hottest content. Steele, brother, thank you so much for being back in the booth with me today. Lots to talk about in the NHL world. Tuesday night, 4 juicy games again, as has been the case through the previous 7 days of the playoffs. And my goodness, Steele, here we are again, and the Toronto Maple Leafs blow yet another awesome opportunity. And I don't mean blow, I mean fail to show up in another awesome opportunity to change this narrative. I want to talk about the Toronto Maple Leafs first. Of course, get your opinion. Guys, there's DFS targets, big-time bets, lots more breakdowns, so stay tuned for that. But Steele, let's start with the Leafs, my friend. It was a mess on Sunday night, just a complete mess. I don't know what you think, but tonight is absolutely massive for this Toronto Maple Leafs team.
Yeah, it's absolutely big. It's a huge game for the Toronto Maple Leafs, but we've seen this happen in the past where when the Leafs go up 2-1, in the last six years that they've been in the postseason, They've gone up 2-1 in the series 4 times. And we all know what happens at the end. It just doesn't turn out well for the Maple Leafs in the first round. So coming back home for game 5, this is very, very big. Big morale and a big confidence boost if they can go up 3-2 in this series. Because What an embarrassing loss to lose 7-3 in game 4. We all know how well Tampa Bay comes out after a loss in the playoffs. We saw that in game 2 when the Leafs dominated a 5-0 game 1. So we all knew Tampa Bay was going to come out strong. But to me, the officiating has been a big key in this series. It's been a big key in a lot of series in the Eastern Conference, but it's been the biggest so far in this series between the Maple Leafs and the Lightning. I have not been liking what I've been seeing from the officials.
Officiating has been an issue, I think, in more than just one series. There seems to be some questionable officiating happening, around the league, and maybe that's just what happens in the first round when attention gets ratcheted up a notch. We kind of catch some of these more questionable calls because obviously our intensity is also ratcheted way up there. But you know what, Steele, at the end of the day, I've also just been really impressed by some of those bottom 6 guys on the Tampa Bay Lightning, Paul, Colton. These guys have really been impressing. And I think we talked a little bit about them during the season as awesome DFS targets. And, again, in my opinion tonight, awesome DFS targets again. And just look at the Tampa Bay Lightning go with those kinds of sneaky good additions to their bottom 6 forward group, bottom 2 or 3 D-men, and they're paying off in dividends. And they haven't been able to match the Toronto Maple Leafs haven't been able to match that intensity. So I think tonight, obviously, it goes without saying, if the Leafs blow another chance, Steele, I don't know if we're going to do you think you're going to be able to handle another letdown? Because I might need to take a break from this team and I can't believe I'm even saying that, but I don't know if you're ready to handle this again.
It's complicated because when you're going up against the Tampa Bay Lightning, back-to-back champs, and if you make it a good series, then I'm fine with that because you actually, you made it good. There was a lot of times where we could have, gone up and everyone knows this, but if they can make it a competition and be competitive, I'm okay if it goes the distance or even 6 games, but they showed some effort. If they just roll over and lose games like 7-3, like what we saw last night, then I'm going to be really pissed off because how many times do we have to see this where they're an absolute juggernaut in the regular season and then just roll over and let the other team just pass on by to the second round right over top of them. So to me, it all depends how they finish out the season, really.
Hey, and also it comes right down to number 34. You know, he's held off the score sheet. That just cannot happen. But what another point I wanted to talk about, Steele, and we're going to shift conferences super quick, is, and another guy that's been a pretty polarizing DFS and fantasy guy over his career, is Evander Kane. And I know that the Edmonton Oilers were shut out by John Quick in the most recent meeting, but Kane has been sensational in the first round. And if this Edmonton Oilers team has any shot at bouncing back, which, hey, this is an even series, actually all the games tonight that feature in these four series, these are all tied up at 2, Steele. This is going to be a really, really interesting night of hockey. Make sure you stay tuned for our DFS targets and big time bets coming up around the break. But yeah, Steele, Evander Kane, can he get going? Because that chemistry with Connor McDavid has been seriously impressive. And if they bring this guy back for next season, that's a guy you definitely need to keep your eye on in all fantasy formats. But I don't know. What do you think how the rest of that series shakes out, my friend?
Well, I said this in last night's episode that I had a feeling that the Kings had a really good chance of tying this up. And I still have the Kings in 7. So I think this is a really good series. And I think you and I discussed this a lot when the Edmonton Oilers acquired Evander Kane, that this was really a move to kind of unload some of the pressure on Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid's shoulders come playoff time. And that's exactly what he's doing, because in the past, we've seen guys like Ryan Nugent-Hopkins go absolutely cold and not produce. And that's what kind of gets them buried a little bit. You know, when you go out and get Tyson Barry and he's no help on the back end a little bit. We've seen a couple guys that they've gone out and acquired and just not really helped them out whatsoever down the stretch of the season, in the regular season and come postseason time. So I think going out, getting Evander Kane, that's exactly what they were looking for. And that's exactly what they're getting right now. 5 goals, 6 points in the 4 games so far. The series is tied 2 apiece. I've said this all season long. Edmonton, yeah, there's no question that they have a chance of winning this matchup, but I have no faith in Mike Smith and Mikko Koskinen. And even though he's put up some decent numbers, I think the Kings take this in 7 still.
And the other important thing to remember too is that Evander Kane move exactly brought in to free up some space for those top guys. But look at what it's done down the lineup and really freed up some space for guys like Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, who has been lighting the lamp again. So that's really what this Edmonton team needs, because we know the LA Kings, even though they put up a 4 spot in game 3, they're offensively challenged. So if the Edmonton Oilers can get going offensively, that's going to be something that the LA Kings will be hard to kind of get in the way of. Either way, I wanted to kind of talk about how good Evander Kane has been, show him some of that love. Gotta also show some love to Bet Online. Bet Online continues to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's basketball playoffs, Major League Baseball scores, fights, and even next season's NFL futures. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering info, from live betting to playoffs to esports and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and all the action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Thank you for making the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast your first listen every day. For your next listen, check out the Locked On Now Podcast, nightly recaps of every NHL game with analysis from our local experts. You don't want to miss out on all the highlights. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts, just like this podcast right here. So if you haven't yet, hit the subscribe, hit the follow button. Once you do, you'll get the latest episodes of the Fantasy Hockey Podcast. And Flip and I appreciate all the love and support out there. So thank you so much for helping and supporting this dream of ours, really, and just riding with us on the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast. DFS selections coming up, 4 games on the schedule. For me, Flip, this is probably the 4 games I really look forward to in the week the most. Because my 2 favorite teams are playing, Minnesota and the Toronto Maple Leafs are in action, but those series are probably the best so far, in my opinion. I agree. Then you've also got the Bruins and Hurricanes. So to me, this is my favorite night of hockey.
I agree, dude, 100%. Just looking at them just from a pure, like, entertainment standpoint, I would say, aside from maybe it's been kind of fun to see the Capitals take it to the Panthers a little bit.
That is true, yeah.
You know, the Avalanche-Predators series, there's not been anything there. The Flames-Stars series has been hard to watch unless you're a Stars fan, realistically, because there's not been a lot of goals. And, yeah, maybe Rangers-Pens, but, yeah, no, I'm with you 100% because also all of these series are knotted at two. So just from a pure competition standpoint, also, do we not call this Minnesota-St. Louis series?
Yeah.
This one has been a wild ride, no pun intended, already. And, you know, hey, best of three, I don't know if you're going to look at that at all DFS-wise, but where are you starting with your DFS selections, good sir?
Hey, that's a great transition because that's exactly where I'm starting with my DFS selection flip. I've really enjoyed this series. My favorite series so far. I've watched every single game, the passion, the physicality, the fire in every single player on the ice. To me, Tyson Jost has been one of the best players out there for the Minnesota Wild, even though he's not, you know, getting on the board, you know, as much as we've seen other players have. He's been absolutely great in the forecheck, on the defensive side of the puck. I've loved every single minute he stepped on the ice. But that's exactly where I'm going for this with this game. I think a Tyson Jost is bound for a point or even a goal in this matchup. So that's the type of player I'm looking at for a cheaper option because he has that fire and he's played absolutely fantastic. So that's a first cheap option from this game, but I'm going right back to Kirill Kaprizov because this guy has been absolutely domination since game one of this series. Four goals on the series, I believe. Absolutely just the vision he has on the ice, the playmaking.
Up to five goals, excuse me.
So even better than I thought. And I'm expecting him to get another one in game five because he's just been that good. And I think he can really put this team on his back, get them up 3-2 in this series, and go to St. Louis in game six and just close it out there.
I'm loving that. And, hey, I don't know about closing it out. I don't know if I'm loving that angle because we have a side bet with the St. Louis Blues.
Well, I do have the Wild in seven, so I take that back. So they're not going to close it out, but Wild will finish it at home.
I appreciate that. And, look, man, I think that this is going to be, you know, and I'm going to talk about it for big-time bets. I think this is going to be another maybe 4-3, 5-4 kind of game. Yeah. Aside from game one, which only had four goals, we've seen six or more in the ref following three, which I don't know about you, but I don't know if I expected that many goals in this series that features Cam Talbot, Marc-Andre Fleury, and a goalie like Ville Husso has been so good. But hey, that's a whole other – this is a playoffs, baby, and we're getting treated to a whole bunch of weird stuff going on. Let's get weird. I'm with it. But I have to look to a player in Jordan Kyrou that I think after the game he had the other night in Pop 2, he's a young player. We know these young guys go on confidence. Your boy Robert Thomas is another one of those. They start to click and they really start to fire. So I'm taking a look at Jordan Kyrou and the rest of his line for my DFS targets in this game, Steele.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of players that you can look out for your DFS selections. But to go back to Ville Husso, I think that's what you and I really did well, highlighting this guy in the regular season. But also we're talking about, because of the lack of playoff experience, how would he become this intense matchup you're going against the Minnesota Wild? And he played absolutely great in game one, but game two and game three didn't play well. And then how great is it for the St. Louis Blues that – look there, you have Jordan Binnington, who's been in this spot before. He can go right into the game. That's exactly what happens for game four, and he shuts the door and gets a 5-2 win. So the goalies that we have in this matchup have been absolutely great, because if you look at the goalies in the other situations, you know, Tristan, you know, the whole situation in Pittsburgh right now, Carolina, you know, all these situations, Colorado even with Darcy Kemper potentially. They've got some great goalies, and they're very fortunate that both their goalies are healthy right now.
Most definitely, Steele. And if you're talking goalies, after the night he had for game three for the LA Kings, game four, I should say, you can't ignore the option for John Quick, right? Like, John Quick, don't sleep. Good options in net for the LA Kings. So, you know, there's just a lot going on, Steele. It's a lot for me to process night in and night out. And at the end of it all, John Quick, at this time in his career, these last three games between the Edmonton Oilers and Los Angeles Kings, I think, I don't even know how they're going to shake out, dude, for real. But I do know this, coming off a shutout, shutting out those Edmonton Oilers, we talked about how good Evander Kane has been. I don't know how the Oilers respond. We know they don't always do well after they get shut out. Their cage tends to get rattled. So I actually like that trend to take a look at John Quick. If you need a DFS goalie, that would be right at the top of my list, Steele.
I also think that's where I would lean to for my DFS goalie as well. I don't know how that game is going to shape up, but I definitely don't want to go, I don't want to go back to that Maple Leafs Tampa Bay game for a goalie selection, because there's been six or seven plus goals in every single game so far in this series. So high scoring games in that series, where I'm actually looking at to fill out the rest of my roster for my DFS selections. I'm looking towards that Carolina Hurricanes Boston Bruins game, and more specifically the players up and down the first three lineups for the Carolina Hurricanes. I think Vincent Trocheck is a fantastic guy to look at for DFS selections. He's got on the board a couple of times so far this series. And it can be one of those guys on the cheaper option. I really think Carolina going back at home and, Antti Raanta kind of getting a little bit of more confidence going into game five in his home building as well. I think it can be a high scoring game. I'm leaning towards the Carolina Hurricanes for game five, though.
Whew. Stay tuned for big time bets, because I don't know, Steele. I'm looking at this Carolina Hurricanes team. After the blow, the output that the Boston Bruins had on Sunday of five goals, Patrice Bergeron, Jake DeBrusque, Marchand, Pastrnak, Marchand with another one. Those are every single one of the Bruins that needed to get going. So we will see what happens there. But you're right with all of that. I would also say, though, the Carolina Hurricanes definitely need to start getting some scoring from some of their top guys. Because when you take a look at it quickly, the team leader right now with five assists, Tony DeAngelo, 5 points, leader as well, and leading in goals, Nino Niederreiter with three. So those other guys need to get going in a hurry. I'm looking at Sebastian Aho, who needs to be better. Toivo Teravainen needs to be better. Trocheck has been great, but he's not always counted on for those goals. He has been there. That would be the guy I'm looking at too. But still, I'm looking at those other guys on the Hurricanes. They better show up or the Bruins might push past them. So,
you're absolutely right. Those guys, those top guys, Sebastian Aho, Teuvo Teravainen, Svechnikov, those guys absolutely need to get going. No question about it that they've not been the best. They've not been playing at the best of their abilities right now. So you're absolutely right there. But you look at Sunday's game and they had to kill 9 penalties. And that's what I was talking about for the officiating. The officiating for both the Maple Leaf series, as well as even this series, has been absolutely terrible. And I understand that they're looking out for cross checks and slashing. That's been the big, the big topic for the whole, for the last year and a half, 2 years, that they really need to, hone down on these calls. And they're just getting it too many times. And the officiating for me has been absolutely brutal, specifically in these two series. So when you're on the penalty kill for 9 times a game, there's no confidence whatsoever. You're getting absolutely zero momentum and you can't get anything out of it.
That's true. Hey, that's why this time of year can be so infuriating and so frustrating as a fan, because this ain't no regular season. This ain't no January hockey, baby. Some of these calls, and we saw it against the Leafs in game two, a couple of very questionable calls that totally turned the tide of that game. Turn the tide of a couple of games in this series too. But hey, this is the nature of the beast. I'm glad you pointed it out. Part of what we're dealing with on a nightly basis with postseason hockey. This is day 8, Tuesday night's action, 4-game DFS and big time betting board. Steele, take us away, brother.
Thank you so much for making the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast your first listen every single day. If you haven't yet, follow, hit the subscribe button. Once you do, you'll get the latest episode of the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast as soon as they're out. And Flip and I appreciate all the love and support out there. So thank you so much. It's now time for big time bets. Let's get to where the money is made. Flip, I haven't had the chance to really place as many bets as I've wanted to, because as of now, most people who have been tuning in, I was on vacation last week. I was out of the country, so I couldn't place any bets. But I'm back in town now. I'm looking forward to Tuesday's night games. But I'll throw it over to you to start us off. Where are you looking for your first bet tonight?
Yep. It sounds like my lock of the night might be a hard sell. So I'm going to start with your probably favorite matchup of the night, St. Louis Blues, Minnesota Wild. I like two picks in this game, Steele. I have four on the night. I'll feed you my lock and my second last pick in a second after I hear from you. My first two picks are from this Blues Wild game. I think that we're in store for another, you know, barn burner type 5-4, 4-3. I'm taking the over. Let's not get it twisted. I see this being another high-scoring game. I've liked what I've seen from both top six forward groups. You know, Kirill Kaprizov, the top line of the Blues. I'm liking what I'm seeing offensively, and I think they both continue to click. So give me the over six. If it goes up to 6.5, which I don't think it will because it's playoffs, I'm still going to take it over. That's my first pick. And let's talk about a guy who is maybe turning back the clock more than anyone in the NHL playoffs right now in David Perron. I don't know where this has come from. He has been a steady, even above average, good top six forward for his entire career. But still, he's on some kind of impressive clip right now. And I believe other than Brad Marchand, he is tied for the lead. He is tied for the playoff lead with 7 points, along with Cale Makar. Brad Marchand leads with 9. But David Perron has been a big reason why the St. Louis Blues have been able to put up a couple of those crooked numbers still. And I think he continues to roll tonight in what I think will be a high-scoring game. So give me a David Perron anytime assist to go along with this high-scoring one. I'm not going to side with a winner in this one. I don't know who. Coin flip game, in my opinion. So I'm staying away from that. But I like the over, and I like a David Perron anytime assist.
I can't argue with those picks because you're absolutely right. David Perron has been fantastic in this series, and there's been a lot of goals. So I might have to bet on the over as well in this game, but I did choose a winner. I think the Minnesota Wild take this, but I'm only taking the money line. They've been really close games. I could see this even going to overtime, maybe even double overtime, one of those games, because we haven't seen it. We haven't seen a lot of overtime games actually so far in the playoffs, which is a little bit surprising, but I think this could be one of the next ones. I'll take the Wild on the money line in this situation. It's been back and forth, so the Blues won the last one. I think Wild take this one at home. And then for my second pick of the night, I said this earlier, I'm taking an anytime goal from Kirill Kaprizov. I just think he's been absolutely fantastic. 5 goals in 4 games, 6 points in those 4 games, actually. And he's just been putting the Minnesota Wild on his back. The overall team has just been absolutely fantastic, but he's got 5 goals. He's putting the puck in the back of the net, and I think he does it again in game 5.
Yeah, aside from getting shut out in game 1, yeah, they've definitely looked great. I love that pick. I think I'm going to sprinkle a little on Kirill as well because, hey, they need him to go, man. They need him to go. He's the guy now, and let's see. He's so far put up, so let's see if he can keep it going. My lock of the night and final pick, Steele. Not my lock of the night. I'll save that for last. I'm going to another prop bet, another anytime assist from the playoff point leader in Brad Marchand. Look, we talked about the Boston Bruins needing secondary scoring. They didn't get any scoring for those 2 losses. They really didn't get a lot. And then, boom, that top line absolutely explodes for 4 goals, I believe, they had the other night. So I'm going right back to Brad Marchand. He has 3 goals and 6 assists so far in 4 games. That's red hot. We know this player can get going in the playoff steal. This is his time to shine. We've seen it multiple years, a thorn in the Toronto Maple Leaf side. This guy's a special player, Steele. Not many guys can back up his kind of antics. Actually, other than Tom Wilson, none can back up the kind of antics with good play that Brad Marchand has. Give me an anytime assist from the little ball of hate, and I'm absolutely loving this spot for the Boston Bruins, pal. I don't think you're liking that. I know you're feeling the Carolina Hurricanes here. I think the Boston Bruins have proved that they are in the mix. This is going to go 7 games. I still hope it's the Carolina Hurricanes for my betting sake. But for tonight, I'm loving the Boston Bruins so much so that I will be betting on them for my lock of the night, Steele. I saw enough from them in game 4 that I really do think if this Carolina team can't find those scoring from those guys we talked about, no team wins without their top 3 or 4 guys getting points. And Carolina is a great team, but no team is that good to have those guys go silent at this time of year. And they have so far. Let's see what happens. If they do again, this might be another two or three game margin victory for the Boston Bruins. But Bruins money line, my lock of the night for Tuesday night.
All right. Well, I guess we're having a side bet because my lock of the night is the Hurricanes on the money line against the Boston Bruins.
Spicy.
Flip. I don't think Sunday's game should tell you know anyone much of anything because they had 9 power plays. And I do agree with you. The top guys need to get going, but they had 9 power plays in that game. And how many times do the superstars actually get to get on the ice to be on the penalty kill? Not a lot of times. So you don't get the momentum. You don't actually get those guys into the game, and you're on the bench for the most part. Because we saw that with the penalties with Austin Matthews and the other top guys for the Toronto Maple Leafs in game 1 and 2. So the top guys haven't been able to get going. Both of these teams have won both games at home. With the Carolina Hurricanes going back home, I think after game 4, they realize they need to be a little bit more disciplined. Hopefully the officiating is a little bit better. They're not making some weak calls, but Carolina knows that they need to be more disciplined than what happened on Sunday night against the Boston Bruins. I think they go back to Carolina for game 5. And I think you're right. This is going to be a high scoring game. And I would also go with a Brad Marchand anytime assist because he's been absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
But the Hurricanes take this and go up 3-2 in the series.
It is going to be a juicy and awesome game to watch. That's for sure. And hey, these kinds of things are part of the beast with the postseason. 9 penalties seems like a very silly number, though. That's too many times for one team to be going to the power play. But hey, this is what happens. And at the end of the day, those guys still need to be better because if Tony D'Angelo is leading your team in scoring, I don't know if you're winning a 7-game series, but we will find out tonight, my friend. Looking forward to another side bet, as always. So let's get it.
All right, my lock of the night, Hurricanes on the money line. Flip's lock of the night, the Bruins on the money line. A little $20 side action here for the both
of us. Someone's going home.
Someone's going home with $20 in the pocket. So we'll see what happens. But thank you guys so much for making the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast your first listen every day. Now make your second listen, Locked On NHL. From first round matchups to each Stanley Cup kiss, Locked On NHL covers the playoffs like no other. Hear the latest news and opinions from local experts every Monday through Friday, just like this podcast right here. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts. We're also free on YouTube, so make sure you hit the subscribe, hit the follow button. Once you do, you'll get the latest episodes of the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast as soon as they're available each and every day, Monday to Friday as well. Thank you so much for tuning in for today's episode with Flip and I. Have a great day. Good luck with all your bets out there. And we shall see you back here again tomorrow.
Peace.